Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson out of Jeremiah chapter 33. Let me read this with just a little bit of difference to it. Verse 15, in those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall make justice and righteousness in the land. You see, this last week I was forced to go back into digging into the Old Testament Hebrew and found out some interesting things. A descendant of David would be born, and he would not only be holy, this is the basic theme, he would bring holiness to the earth. Which leaves a certain thing hanging, namely, what exactly is that holiness? What kind of holiness is it? What's it like? And Jeremiah points to the word spoken to David about 400 years before, that one of his descendants would sit on his throne and rule forever, and Jesus is the son of David, the king. But you see, he is the king who prefers to be the good shepherd, and who prefers to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And by him we have peace with God, and in him we have peace that is brought to all the nations. So in anticipation of Christmas, what is the song that the angels sing? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to man. But we back up into our Old Testament lesson. I will branch off from David a righteous branch. That's how the Hebrew says it. And he will do justice and righteousness in the earth. But wait a minute. Doing justice, well, judging sinners is an easy thing for the one who knows everything, but the word, the Hebrew word, actually, has two meanings. It means do, or it means make. Hebrew word, osay. Most of the translations in our day translate it, he will execute righteousness. So I think we should do less translation sometimes. Take the literal, he will make righteousness. Which then makes you puzzle. What righteousness is this? What kind of righteousness is this? Well, it's a righteousness that had never been seen before. It's a righteousness that is tailored for making others righteous. And there we start to dash and race our way through the Bible, guided by the letter to the Romans. It is what Abraham found. Abraham, who believed in God, who makes sinners holy. And that's how Paul says it very literally, who makes sinners holy. As David found the same thing. David was a sinner. Found the same thing in God. Paul writes about it, and Luther rediscovered it, and the whole thing is that he comes to make sinners holy. Which means, one of the very strange things it means is that the very safest place in the whole world, the best place in the whole world, is to be a sinner standing before God because his whole thing is he makes sinners holy. And then you go the next step. Exactly how does he do that? How does our God make sinners holy? Well, a descendant of David will be born. A descendant of David. Guess who that is? And this descendant of David, this guess who this is, will not only be holy in himself, he will bring a holiness to the earth that is a holiness that is fit and tailored for sinners. And we know that it is fit and tailored for sinners because where was the holiness finally finished off? And that is on the cross, where Jesus goes to take the sins of the world on himself, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and to offer himself as the holy sacrifice to his Father, holy in his life of perfect holiness, perfect obedience, and holy in his life of perfect faith. And then to take that holiness and, so to speak, say, look at what I have tailored for you. This is a holiness that is geared toward covering over the sins of the world and washing them away and clothing you in the holiness of this someone else who stands in your place. And so Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, in our place, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then it begins to roll out. As the book of Acts describes it, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. As Jeremiah says it, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live securely. And it will spread to the whole world so that all who are connected to Jesus have the same thing happen. Here we go back to Abraham, who found that God, well, he makes sinners holy. And every one of us from every nation on earth who are patched in and made a part of God's people through Jesus Christ, through baptism, through the Word of God, through faith in Jesus, through the forgiving words of Jesus, every one of us are brought into the same thing. He makes sinners holy. So that at the end of the Old Testament lesson, what is the name for God? In English, the Lord our righteousness. That's our confession. That's our faith. Jesus is our holiness. You could say it like this. Oh, you Christians, you are very silly people. You have nothing to claim before God, nothing of your own to bring. Yeah, that's right. We have nothing to bring to God, and only the holiness of Jesus to claim on Judgment Day. That's our confession. That's our faith. Our holiness before the throne of God on the last day. The Lord, our righteousness. Take another step here. The plan all along, the plan from before the beginning of the world, the plan from before the beginning of time, was to take the holiness of Jesus and to write his holiness into the story of your life. That's the record of that's the record of where your sins went. Jesus is your holiness who covers your sin. That is the record of the acts of love and kindness to your neighbor. It is the holiness of Jesus working its way into your soul and then into your life. It's not yours. It's His. By grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God that no one should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance that we should walk in them. The record of the acts of love for your neighbor is nothing else than Jesus working His way into your life. The pattern into which Jesus is forming you is just this, so that you may be a bearer of the image of the Son of God in this world. A bearer of the image of the one who came to take away our sins, so that you go out into the world as sinners who are clothed with the holiness of Jesus, to call out to other sinners and tell them of that very strange righteousness that is not ours, but now is ours. It belongs to Jesus, but He calls it ours, and He formed and fashioned it to clothe sinners like us. And we've been invited, and they are invited as well. So that on the day of judgment, God the Father looks at you. Judgment day, what does He see? He sees the holiness of Jesus. And says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 tells us that the whole church will respond in confusion. "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty?" Or on it goes. And He says, "As you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." He insists on seeing His own holiness clothing us, and then takes His own holiness and uses it as an excuse, if you will, as an excuse to declare you holy. What a strange righteousness this is. Well, Jeremiah, back to Jeremiah, he lived as a sinner among sinners, called to preach judgment to the wealthy, to preach about the sins of the wealthy, pride and indulgence and figuring God is on your side since everything's going well. So why bother with things like repentance and prayer? To the poor, to preach about the sins of the poor, jealousy and questioning God's goodness and getting immersed in the struggle for daily bread, to the neglect of the things of the soul. And yes, Jeremiah knew that as he preached these words, he was getting hit by them too. And the consequences were, Jeremiah watched a long, drawn-out collapse of the nation of Judah. You see, the law has to come home. It has to come home until we say, "Yeah, that's my sin." because as long as you hear the preaching of the law of God as being someone else's sin, it's them, his fault, her fault, whatever, their fault. It's those people that don't act like we do and don't believe like we do. As long as you hear it going after someone else, you haven't heard it. And it's only when the law of God is for me that I hear that part of the Word of God and am ready to be brought as a sinner to stand before God. That's what Jeremiah was doing, preparing the people of God to stand as sinners before God, together with Jeremiah. Because that's the safest place, the only safe place in all of creation is to stand as a sinner before God. Because why? Because God makes sinners holy. Well, Jeremiah only got to be a prophet and point forward to when the fulfillment would be fulfilled. And then Jesus came. And as Jesus came, he came not just to stand with us before the throne of God. He came to be our substitute, standing before the throne of God with all of our sins. He came to take our sin and bring those sins to the cross in our place and for us, so that we might be, as Paul says, made to be the righteousness of God in him. What a strange righteousness. Also from the perspective of the one who's making others righteous, what a strange righteousness on the part of God to make himself the bearer of all sin, all uncleanness, and all guilt, so that those who have done those things can be clothed in his own goodness, so that they may stand before God guiltless and free because he hung on the cross guilty and forsaken with someone else's sin. But there it is. The name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And now that the righteousness is sorted out, the tzaddik, as it says it in Hebrew, now that that's sorted out, the mishpat, the judgment, judgment falls right into place when the righteousness is sorted out. There will be a judgment seat. Oh, yeah. And there the judge who has given us his own holiness will look within his believers, and he will judge whether, this is going to sound strange, he will judge whether his own holiness is truly holy. Well, of course it is. And those whose names he has written in his book, he will look at and he will say, I know that holiness. I made it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. In Jesus' name, amen.